Good morning. What a privilege to be here. I bring greetings from Victoria. Jason's here with me. He's a part of our church plant team. Jason, give a wave. And we are missionary church planters, overseas missionary church planters to Victoria on Vancouver Island. And I want to bring greetings and also say thank you for how this church community is partnering with us. And I believe that Jesus, we all have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus in our life. And I think we all have opportunities today, as we do every day, to say yes to Jesus. And sometimes saying yes to join Jesus can feel simple, and sometimes saying yes to join Jesus is very significant. And for us, it felt like a significant yes to for our family to be able to move over to start a new church community in Victoria. So I'll show a little bit of a snapshot about us and where we're at. And there's a picture of my family on there. I think if you could find that slide. That's my wife and two kids. And so as you have said yes to partner with us, we're starting a church in Victoria, a Church of Jesus Communities in a neighborhood called Fernwood, which is a neighborhood in the core of Victoria where numerous churches have closed down. It's known as a spiritually dark neighborhood, and so we want to plant a gospel flag there and then help equip people to start numerous Jesus communities through the region. And so we are starting a Church of Jesus Communities. The second part of our ministry is actually serving the broader church. And there's a number of pastors and churches and church planters through BC, but also Canada, that we encourage and equip in everyday life disciple making and in spirit, like leader health. And so as you have poured seeds and said yes to partnership with us, that's making an impact in this province's capital, but it's also making an impact and rippling out to other churches. And I just want to say thank you for how you have encouraged us and the heart of your leadership here, Pastor Yarno, and the others that we've met. We feel humbled and grateful to join Jesus with you. There's nothing better in life than to say yes to Jesus and join him. When we join with the one who is life, we find ourselves experiencing life. And this is what we want to be able to do. And so wherever you're at on your spiritual journey today, my prayer is that Jesus will speak to you and that you would say yes to him and taking a step with him. Thanksgiving happened recently, and we are church planting team. There's about 15 adults and 10 or 12 teenagers, a part of this little team that's forming. So there was two Thanksgiving dinners that were hosted. One was about 30 people crammed into a living room. They had to take the couches out of the living room and put like fold-up chairs and fold-out tables to fit pack everyone in. It was, you could say, cozy. But in that, there was a number of different friends that came to participate in that. There's one new friend from the neighborhood that jokes that we are a cult. And yet did come to celebrate with us. Another that's a single dad in the neighborhood looking for relationships, and he came to celebrate with us. And then is coming tonight as we have another event. And we're seeing how Jesus is pursuing different people's hearts and how we get to join Jesus to be a part of that. There, a few weeks ago, in our neighborhood, there's a community meal. So every Monday night, the first 70 people that line up get to go to this community meal. It's $12 for a whole family to eat, which is pretty amazing. They have a chef. This is the neighborhood association hires a chef to put on these meals. So of course, as a Jesus follower, you're like, this is amazing. We got to go to this meal and meet people. And so we've begun to make some certain friends and relationships through this community meal. And one of the gentlemen that we've gotten to know in the past months and weeks, we just moved in the summer, but others have been there a little bit longer than us, a part of the team. But after the meal, I was cleaning up with him. And he said, I've never met people like you and Chris before. Now, Chris is the other church planter that we're partnering with, him and his wife, Kelly. And I said, I'm not sure if this is a good thing or not, right? I'm like, oh, what do you mean? He says, well, you talk about knowing Jesus, starting this Jesus community, doing the thing. And I'm not exactly sure what he meant by the thing. But I said, oh, like you, have you ever met a Christian before? And he says, well, I've been in Canada for over 30 years. I came from Poland. My parents forced me to go to Mass a few times in Poland as a child. But ever since coming to Canada, I've never met someone like you guys. So I said, so I'm like, well, no one's ever talked to you about faith or spirituality or hope or the purpose of life, like what we believe. And he said, honestly, I've never really thought about those things before talking to you. And I realized this is like an unreached people group right in the middle of the city, 30 years in Canada, never really had an interaction with a follower of Jesus. So I smile at him and I say, it's a sign. Like, God is pursuing you. And he looked at me with a look a little bit like, a little bit afraid, a little bit like, are you serious? Are you joking? Is this actually a sign? Is God actually pursuing me? But we pray for him. And this is what we want to, this is what we want to be able to do, is be able to help people that are following Jesus to be activated in their faith, to join Jesus and become everyday life missionaries, who get to join Jesus and see disciples made, who get to make more disciples. And for those who, maybe like this man, have never actually heard the gospel before or met a Christian, that we would be able to join Jesus in interacting with them so they can come to a saving faith in Jesus and experience a new life. This is what we want to do. And this is the invitation for all of us. All of us are invited to join Jesus. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. So thank you for partnering with us. And I brought some prayer cards. And today, my invite to you would be, if you want to grab one of these, they're in the lobby. We'd love for you to be praying for us. You can sign up to receive prayer updates. I'll send little updates out with a little picture here and there with prayer requests in a seasonal or seasonal newsletter. And you could be praying for us as our family continues to make friends and settle in the new city, as we go around and fundraise for this work and try to find part-time jobs and all the things that are involved in trying to make a way forward. And as there's a growing number of teenagers connecting with us, that there would be a move of God amongst the teenagers. Please pray for this with us. So there's a bit of a snapshot of what's going on. But today I'd like for us to open up to Acts chapter 1, if you could open your Bibles. Acts chapter 1, we'll look at verse 1. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for what you're doing in the world to make all things new, including each of us. We ask that by your Spirit today that you will speak to our hearts. Jesus, that you would be lifted up and glorified, that you would stir a fresh joy in our salvation, that you would draw each of us to yourself. Jesus, we do want to say yes to you today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to look at Acts chapter 1 and look at an overview of the whole story of God. So I'm going to attempt to give a summary of the entire Bible and then invite us into what it looks like for us to join Jesus in his story. But let me first start with two scenes from my story. So we talk about joining Jesus and how Jesus is the hero of the story. So two scenes from my story. Scene number one, I'm going to move this chair to the side. Scene number one, I'm 6 years old, and I'm kneeling beside my bed with my dad. My dad at that point was a newer Christian, and he's talking to me about me becoming a Christian. And I'm thankful for parents that helped point me to Jesus. And so we're kneeling to pray, and he's talking to me about becoming a Christian and how I can ask Jesus into my heart. And so I look over at my dad, and I play with a lot of Lego. I don't know if any of you have Lego in your story and history. And so I'm envisioning, how does Jesus get into my heart? And I remember asking my dad, how does Jesus get small enough? Like, I'm picturing little Lego Jesus. How does Jesus get small enough to shrink it to fit in my heart? And my dad chuckles. I remember him laughing. And then this puzzled look on his face. As I imagine, he's trying to figure out how to explain. No, he doesn't actually literally go into your heart, though his spirit does go into you. And he's trying to explain to me that it's like you ask him into your life, but it's not like he really shrinks and goes in your heart like little baby Jesus shrinking in. But I remember this as a mark in my story. And if we fast forward to scene number two of my story, I'm 17 years old. I'm living on my own now, and I've graduated from high school. I'm living in a house by myself, and I thought, if I'm going to now be an adult, I need to figure out what it looks like if I'm going to join Jesus. And I started to read through the Gospel of Matthew a little bit every day, and I got to the end of the Gospel according to Matthew, where Jesus is crucified. This is one day. And God's presence fills this bedroom. And the Spirit of God speaks to my heart and says, Brett, this is true. I love you and I've died for you. I gave my life for you. Like Jesus, I believe, and all of a sudden it just hits me. Like it hit me so hard. Like Jesus is real. He has given his life for me. And I got up out of the seat that I was reading the Bible and I got on my knees in this bedroom by myself. And I began to cry out to God, and I said, Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me, and now I give my life to you. And fast forward, and I accidentally became a youth pastor a year later, and the trajectory of my life takes off. But this scene of the story of Jesus, I give you my life. We all live in light of the story that we believe. Or a saying that I like is, the story that we live in is the story that we live out. And so we all are living in light of a greater story. And the story that we live in is the story that we end up living out. So if the story that we live in is that I need to get more money to matter more, and that my career really forms me and my sense of significance, if that's the worldview that I'm in and how I'm viewing the world, that's going to be the story that I live out in my everyday life. The story that we live in is the story that we live out. Could we say that together? The story that we live in is the story we live out. We're going to do it one more time. If you can go back on this, back, don't go into Acts just yet. There we go. Thank you. Excellent job on media. Can we say this together out loud? All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. The story we live in is the story that we live out. And so if we think about the story of our life, who's the central character? Who's the one that makes it happen? Who carries the weight? Who makes the decisions? And we live in a world that would say, you're the central character. That no, you got to look out for number one. No one else is going to look out for you. You have to make it happen. You have to do you. That at the end of the day, it's up to you. So we live in a world that shapes us to think that I'm the hero of my story and the pressure's on me. Jesus invites us into his story where Jesus is the hero. And so I want to look at Acts chapter 1 here. And what does it look like for us to join Jesus in his story? If you have your Bible, you can there to Acts chapter 1. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen. In the first book, O Theophilus, so this is written by Luke, who was a doctor and historian of the first century. He says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Thank you, God, for your word. Now just look at verse 1 there. In the first book, O Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So as I mentioned, this is written by Luke. Luke wrote the gospel, according to Luke, the story of Jesus. It's likely that Theophilus was a patron who helped fund Luke's research and travels, and so he is acknowledging him here. In the first book that he wrote, he dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, Jesus' words and his ways. The implication being that the book of Acts is what Jesus continues to do, but now it's through his people by his Spirit. The book of Luke is what Jesus began to do and teach. The book of Acts is what Jesus continues to do by his Spirit through his people. My daughter did some elementary school track and field. An elementary school track and field is, you know, it's not very high bar, but they do a lot of running. But there was one race that she had to do at every track meet, but they never really practiced it, and that was the relay race. So you have a baton, and you run, and then you pass it to the next person. And my daughter would always complain, because she's a little bit serious about it. She'd be like, "Dad, they never even train this. There's supposed to be a code word, but the girl like almost drops it, and she's like walking with it, and it's not very efficient." And she's noted like the pass-off is so difficult. But I was thinking about this because I think sometimes in my life, and maybe you can relate to this, I thought about following Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, maybe like a relay race. Like Jesus ran his race, and he ran it really, really well, like perfect. And then he's like, "Baton pass," and then to us, the church. And now we're like, right? We're like dropping it, fumble along, Jesus, that's intimidating. We're supposed to now like do your ministry. But how Luke opens it here, the first book was all that Jesus began to do and teach. The book of Acts and the story of the church is what Jesus continues to do. It's not so much that Jesus ran a leg of the race and then gives us the baton. That's intimidating. It's more that Jesus continues to run a race, and he invites all of us, and he says, "Hey, come and run with me. Come and run with me." That Jesus is actually alive. He's at work by his Spirit. That he's continuing his ministry and mission. And he's inviting us to come and run with him. He's inviting us to come and run with him. The pressure and weight is not upon us. One scholar put it like this. There's a quote. It could be on the slide. "Formerly, the disciples had experienced the Spirit through the presence of Jesus. After Pentecost, they would experience Jesus through the presence of the Spirit. We are invited to join Jesus. Jesus is the hero of the story." So here's something that I realized by God's grace as an adult, that my six-year-old self was onto something. We are not meant to try to shrink Jesus down like little Lego Jesus where he fits into our heart. In reality, it's more like, no, we give our heart to Jesus. Jesus is not really as much entering my life as I am entering his. It's not that I add a little Jesus to the story of my life. It's that a little Brett gets added to the story of Jesus who is life. This is reality. That Jesus, there is no ministry apart from the ministry of Jesus. That Jesus is continuing his ministry. Jesus is continuing his mission. Jesus is continuing his work by his Spirit. And he's saying, little Brett, little church, you can come and you can run with me. You can come and join me in my ministry, in my mission. Join me in what I'm doing, what I'm continuing to do through the world today. We're invited to join Jesus. So we can look at our life and say, am I trying to add a little bit of a little Jesus to my life? Or am I giving my life to Jesus? But if we're going to join Jesus in his story, it means we need a greater perspective, and it means we need greater power. And so let's look at that this morning, perspective and power. We're going to read on in Acts. Look at verse 3. When Jesus rises from the dead, he talks to them about the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. When Jesus rises from the dead, his choice topic is talking about the kingdom of God. But then look at verse 6. So when they come together, they ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus is talking to them about the kingdom of God, and the disciples are thinking about the kingdom of Israel. See, their perspective is limited. Now, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not so much a physical kingdom. The kingdom of God is referencing the rule of God, where this is what it's like when God's in charge, when Jesus is king. And so when Jesus shows up, truly human and truly God, and he heals somebody, it's this picture that when Jesus is king and you experience his kingdom, there's no sickness. When he raises the dead, it's this foretaste. When Jesus is king and his authority is full, that life overcomes death. It's a spiritual kingdom where Jesus is king and his authority is fully known. And so Jesus on the earth today is establishing and expanding his kingdom, where he is moving in human hearts and moving across the world. And in us and through us, he's expanding his authority, where we're getting little glimpses and tastes. This is what it's like when Jesus is in charge. This is what it's like when his kingdom is established. We're getting to experience it in our world today. Habakkuk, the Old Testament prophet, speaks towards the future when Jesus' kingdom will be fully realized. He says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That one day Jesus' kingdom will fully come and will saturate everything. His vision is cosmic. He wants to fill the whole earth where everyone will know. Everyone will know the glory of the Lord. The kingdom of God will fully come. But they are asking, okay, Jesus, now that you're alive, will you restore Israel? Will you make Israel great again now? Are you gonna do it now? They're thinking with a limited perspective. Jesus wants to expand their perspective, because the story that we live in is the story that we live out. So what's the perspective of God's kingdom and his story? I'm going to illustrate using these chairs, which each show an act of God's story, if you can follow along with me. The first scene in God's story is creation, where God, who is love, out of an overflow of his love, creates all that exists. He is the power and source of all life. And he creates everything, all the galaxies, everything that exists, God creates. But the pinnacle of his creation, he creates humanity. And he sets up this garden to be like his temple, where his presence dwells. But in God's temple, he doesn't have image idols. He has image bearers, male and female, created to represent him to each other and to all of creation. And then he commissions them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That God wants to fill the earth with his glory through his image bearers, to expand his rule throughout all of creation. And the first humans, as all humans, at some point, they doubt the words of God. We want to take matters into our own hands, where we choose who we are and how to make ourselves something. And they rebel against God, taking matters into their own hands and doubting and not trusting him. And this leads to brokenness and to death. Death of relationship, physical death. Chaos ensues in all of creation, and we continue to experience this today as all of us continue, like the first humans, to struggle to obey God fully and to take matters into our own hands, to shape ourselves and make ourselves. And yet, God is faithful, and he has a promise to continue his work. After Noah, he says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The same plan. Then he chooses Abraham. This man of promise gives him a promise saying, through you, I'm going to form a people to bless all peoples. That God's plan is still to fill the earth and bless all. His promise continues. But then humans still struggle to obey God. And they said, I want kings. And so they have a king, but the kings don't obey God and they take matters into their own hands. So he sends prophets, calling the prophets back to God. And the people don't like the prophets. And it unfolds until the redemption scene of the story, where God himself takes on human form. Jesus comes, truly human, truly God. And Jesus does trust the Father perfectly. And he lives the life that no other human can live. And then he dies the death that we all deserve to die in our place as our substitute. He fulfills both sides of the covenant. He shows us what it means to be truly human and to truly trust. And he rises from the dead in victory, victory over sin, Satan, and death. And he ushers in the kingdom of God, where now this is where you can taste it, when God's in charge. It's a new day in the story. And he's forming a new people. And it's not just about Israel, but he's thinking about being fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth. And it's not a new people with 12 tribes, but it starts with 12 disciples. And then he commissions those disciples, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Except he says, go and make disciples of all nations. This is for everyone, everywhere, because right from the start and all the way through, God's plan is to fill the earth with his glory through his people, where everyone will experience the authority and the kingdom of God. And this continues now through the church on mission, where the mission and promise of God continues. Where this is the story of Acts, and this is our story as well. Where we get to join Jesus in what his work is of making disciples who make disciples, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Until finally, one day, Jesus will return. And there will be a final judgment where he will make all things right. And there'll be a final restoration where he'll make all things new. And his kingdom will be fully realized. And his glory will be fully known. And he will saturate all of creation. And all that we are longing for and waiting for and hoping for will be realized in Jesus as he makes all things new. This is the story of God. This is the story of God. So the disciples have a limited perspective. And Jesus is trying to talk to them about the kingdom of God and a bigger perspective. I know in my life sometimes I can have limited perspective, if you can relate to that. And so in light of all of this, what is God's purpose? If someone was to ask you, what is the purpose of God? I like how Paul puts it in Ephesians 1. It'll be on the screen. Paul writes, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, Jesus, things in heaven and things on earth. Ephesians 1, verse 9 and 10. Now, Ephesians 1, 23. There should be a slide for this as well. He says, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. The Apostle Paul thinking, what's the purpose of God in light of his story? All things united to Jesus. Jesus filling all things. All things brought and united under Jesus and to Jesus. Jesus filling all things. That the purpose of Jesus, Jesus' plan, as we see from the start to the finish, is Jesus' saturation. It's Jesus filling every nook and cranny of every culture and every person, every neighborhood, every school, every workplace, everywhere. Jesus filling all in all. And so if we're going to join Jesus in his mission and his purpose, it's actually not just about filling a church. It's about filling a city. That every building, every block, every school, every workplace, Jesus' light would shine into that darkness. Jesus filling all in all. This is the purpose of God. This is the plan of Jesus. This is the grand perspective that we get to be expanded, that our perspective gets to be expanded too. In grade 10, I played high school basketball.
Now, I was new in the high school, and I played basketball at lunch, but I'd never played on a basketball team. And the basketball program in the small town that I grew up in, Gibson's, BC, the basketball program had been dead for a long time. But somebody was like, we're going to start a new basketball program. So these kids came up to me and said, there's a new basketball team starting. Could you join the team? We need some tall guys. And I thought, oh, well, that's kind of nice. Like, sure, I'll play basketball with you. I was a little intimidated. Now, there's a little bit of a red flag I should have thought about. Like, if you're recruiting me to be a tall guy, I'm not short, but in the basketball world, all right, I'm not going to be your key player. That's for sure. But they're like, we need some tall guys. Come and play. So I go, okay. And we go. I remember my first basketball game of my life. This was not a smart move by the person resurrecting the basketball program in our high school. The first basketball game of my life and of the school program being resurrected is at a tournament in Vancouver. From small Gibson's, BC, catching a ferry over, coming. We come into this high school gym in Vancouver. There's balcony seating, all right? And they give us jerseys, and the jerseys came out of the janitor's closet from like 20 years before. They're like shaking off dust, giving us the jerseys. The numbers are all crusty and like peeling off the back. One of my teammates, the number was so crusty and peeled, the ref came over and said, I can't even see the kid's number. He's literally going to the supply closet, getting duct tape, duct taping a number on the back of this kid's old jersey. This is not a great start, okay? So here we are. I'm a tall guy. I'm going, thank you, Jesus, that at least my number is still in the back. It's not the duct tape number. But then the opposing team comes in. They've got matching tearaways, the matching warm-up jerseys. In my memory, matching sneakers, right, that are shining white. And get this, they have actual tall guys. 6'5", 6'6", 6'8". I see them over there. And I realize, okay, my little perspective of playing basketball in our little high school gym at lunch hour and join this team hit the reality of what it's actually like to go into the world and play basketball. We got destroyed. At one point, I was so nervous, I went the wrong direction down the basketball court. Okay? At halftime, we're in the locker room, and our basketball coach / PE teacher is saying a bunch of words that can never be repeated. And at one point, he kicks a locker. It echoes through the room. He says, everybody look at Brett. And I'm like, is there another? I sure hope there's another Brett, right? And he says, Brett doesn't know what he's doing, but at least he's trying hard. Now, I thought, you could interpret this different ways, right? You could think, well, Brett doesn't know how to play basketball. Or you could think, out of every single person on this team, the coach chose me as the one to call out with stellar effort, right? And what happened in that moment was a limited perspective and experience of basketball collided with reality. Our basketball season was a disaster. But I got some stories out of it. But the disciples are saying, hey, Jesus, are you gonna build Israel great now? And their little limited perspective is clashing with the reality of resurrected King Jesus and the kingdom of God. And he's saying, no, you don't even understand what you're asking. You don't even understand. But the Spirit of God's going to come on you, and it's going to give you power, that you're going to be my witnesses to all the nations of the world, including Victoria, right? Everywhere. And we can drift as humans, have limited perspective. And today, this morning, actually, I believe that Jesus wants to remind us that he's got a grand story and a bigger perspective, that we have a clash with the reality who is the truth, Jesus, and realize that Jesus is active and wanting to do much more than we realize in our lives and in our story. We're invited to join Jesus because the story that you live in is the story that you live out. And so right now, where are we in the story? We're right here, the church on mission scene. See, God could have planned to create you and I to live at any point in history in these scenes of the story, but he chose to put us here and now. This is where we sit, the church on mission, joining Jesus in filling the world with his glory through disciples making disciples who make disciples, through Jesus who wants to fill all in all. He wants to fill everyone and everything, everywhere, and we get to join him. This is where we sit in the story. This is the perspective of life. What is success in our life? What is faithfulness in our life? What is the vision for your life? Why do we exist in this life? Jesus wants us to have a collision with reality, to get a bigger perspective, to realize the purpose of life is joining Jesus in his story. And what Jesus wants to do is fill all in all, have all things united to him. And he says that we get to actually join him. We get to join him. If we don't live in light of the great true story, we will live in light of a lesser story. And we can live in light of the world saying, it's your story. It's my story. And the world would have us think, if you make more or you achieve more, you are more. No one can define you. You have to define you. You have to do you. You can't have anyone else tell you who you are. You got to define yourself. You got to make yourself. You got to speak it into existence from yourself. You have to look within yourself. Have you heard this? You're the hero of the story. You have to make it happen. The world is shaping us to think that we live in our story. We live in our story. And then the danger is, we can go, I get a little Lego Jesus. And I'll add him, I'll ask him into my heart to be a part of my story. Jesus, come and help my life. Come and bless my life. Come and help me in my life. I'll ask you into my heart. Like me as a six-year-old. How does Jesus get so small that he shrinks down and fits into my heart? But we can live in this story with a little Jesus in it. But man, is the pressure on us. And I've slipped into this. But we're invited to join Jesus in his story. And so there's good news. We don't need to be the hero in our story, because there's already a hero in the great story, and the hero is Jesus. And Jesus has lived the perfect life. And Jesus has already died the death. And Jesus is alive and has defeated sin, Satan, and the grave. That Jesus went to the exam. He got 100%. And he gives you and I the report card. And he says, there, 100%, perfect grade, take the report card. You can walk with authority and power and be righteous and made new and walk with a confidence and a victory and authority. 100% of the report card of life. It's yours to take. And we so easily will drift and go, no. Like, I've got to do better. I can't go out there and tell people about Jesus. I need to learn more and be more. And I need to be better. And maybe God's mad at me because I didn't read my Bible enough this week. Or I need to be a better Christian. Or I'm not that good of a Christian. And we're invited, no, don't live in light of the story where it's up to you. Live in light of the story where it's up to Jesus. Jesus who's making all things new. Jesus who is the hero of the story. This is good news. That it's not up to us to make ourselves. There is one who makes us. His name is Jesus. That we're not the one that has to be the hero of the story. There is a hero of the story, and his name is Jesus. So there's an invitation for us. We can live, I can live, you can live. We can live in our story with a little Jesus. Or there can be a little Brett in God's story. It's a little me in his story, or it's a little him in mine. We choose. Now, this is truth. This is the true story. But man, do we easily slip over to this as the world shapes us. Now, if we're going to live in light of Jesus' story, enjoying Jesus, and be a part of what he wants to do to fill all in all, it means we say yes to him. It means we surrender to him. And maybe that doesn't look like moving to Victoria to start a new church community and be a missionary there. Or maybe it does. Talk to me after. But man, it could mean a lot of different things, what it means for us to say yes and to join Jesus in his story. It could mean that the way we handle our money changes. It could mean that the way we interact with our neighbors changes. It could mean we start to make little sacrifices to open our table. It could mean that we need to go get some mentorship and some help. Maybe we need to get some freedom. And it's so good Celebrate Recovery is happening. But all of us are invited to join the story of Jesus and to say yes to him. You know, when we were thinking about moving to Victoria, my wife and I were feeling pretty intimidated. We went over and we walked the streets of Fernwood, and there's a bunch of churches that are closed down in the neighborhood. There's only one church, Christian church, left in that neighborhood. Obviously, it's bigger than one neighborhood, but the neighborhood's got about 10,000 people, one church left, no pastor, dying, kind of shrinking congregation of a handful of people. That's the remnant left. And my daughter's 10 at the time. We're driving back to the ferry, and she says, "I think we're going to move to Victoria." She says, "Because we've visited different cities and gone and visited different churches where we know there's a bunch of Christians or we know there's churches, but when we walked that neighborhood, we went to that city, it didn't seem like there's many Christians and it didn't seem like there's many churches, at least that are still open. And so if God wants us to be lights in the darkness, then it makes sense that he would send us to a dark place." And my wife and I look over our shoulders into the back seat of the vehicle like, "Who are you?" And totally convicted. Convicted because she's speaking out the truth of this story. And it is so easy for my heart and perspective to get limited like those disciples, where I shrink back to this story. But if we're going to join Jesus in his story, our perspective needs to get greater. But the good news is, because it's not a baton race where he passes it and then says, "Go run real hard," because man, we would fail. We do. And this is where Acts 8 comes in. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." That we will receive power. He doesn't just give us greater perspective and a greater story. He gives us greater power. That we don't make it happen. He makes it happen. Now let me close with a little nugget for us to think about this. How do we practically begin to join Jesus in his story? I love the acronym BLESS. If you have a slide, if you can put that up there. No, go back. There, perfect, thank you. BLESS. We become a people who bless. B, begin in prayer. So for me, for the last few years, I always try to have at least 5 people that don't know Jesus that I'm praying for every day. I'm praying that God will bless them with faith, that he will bless them with a soft heart, that I will have the opportunity to invite them to experience Jesus. Begin in prayer. L, listen. I listen to their story, and I listen to the Holy Spirit. I've just learned, in my zealous younger years, I did a lot of talking, trying to convince people about how this is the better story. And I realized most of the time, that wasn't super fruitful. So I sit with people, like at the Monday meal, or across the table, or like I did when we church planted in Burnaby, the City Lights. I sit with a lot of people, and I listen to their story. I ask them questions about where they came from, who their family is. I listen for their point of need. I listen for what they're hungry for. What are they desiring? Where is their hope? I'm listening, because I'm listening and I'm listening to the Spirit to try to determine, how does Jesus be good news to them? Me just saying Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you can be forgiven, for some people does not sound like good news. It sounds irrelevant. They're like, what does that even mean? But when you get to listen to somebody's story, that I can go, okay, at some point I'm going to be able to share. E is eat. Eat with them. Find opportunities to eat with people. Lunch break, grab a coffee with somebody, open the table. Thanksgiving, eat the more we can eat. And then S, if we can practically serve them. As we listen to their story and realize things, we can serve them. And then finally S, we'll get to share our story and we'll get to share God's story. And when we do, and I do whole like workshops around this, but when we do, we can share our story and God's story in a way that matches where their story is at. And we can help them connect the dots of why Jesus is good news for them. So church, would you pray for us as we go and pioneer something new? Maybe you would sign up to receive our prayer updates. Maybe you would want to donate or be a part. Maybe you have some sort of connection that would be helpful for us. We get to partner together from sea to sea, across from the island to the mainland, to make Jesus known, to join Jesus in his story. But also, today you get to say yes to Jesus, and you get to go join Jesus in the story that he's writing, where you get to be a part of Jesus filling all in all, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. If you're breathing, your story's not done yet, because his story's not done yet. And there's a place for all of us to join Jesus, who is the hero of the story. Because the story that we live in is the story that we live out. Well done. Well done. Being faithful, faith-filled, genuine people who are seeking to join Jesus in his great story. May you feel the smile of the Father upon your heart, and may you feel invigorated to join him and say yes afresh. I'm really glad that we get to partner in joining Jesus together. Amen.